Here's some more Inside Wealth, the show that truly enriches your life, right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. We're here with Stephen Post, PhD, a professor of bioethics at Case Western, also co-author with Jill Nymark of Why Good Things Happen to Good People, the exciting new research that proves the link between doing good and living a longer, healthier, happier life. It's a beautiful thing. So, Stephen, last segment, we were talking about the power of giving. And in the book, you've outlined a number of ways that we can give to family, friends, community, and humanity, those different concentric circles within our lives. Can you give us some examples, please?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many strengths that we have. The best way to be a giver is to focus in on the things that really are your strengths, your natural talents. So creativity is one way to give. The foreword of this book was written by Otis Moss, best known because about 28 years ago in a one-on-one encounter, he encouraged a young talk show hostess to really go positive in her programming, and that was Oprah Winfrey, who describes him as her spiritual mentor. But he talks about being a young minister in Cincinnati. He goes to the hospital where Sister Loyola McNair's got diabetes. She's going to have not one but two legs amputated. He's speechless, but she gets him off the hook. She says, "You know, Pastor Moss, all my life I've used my creativity to help other people. I knit, I sew, I crochet, I cook, and when I get out of this hospital, I'll bake you a cake." Now, she didn't say if, but when I get out. And let me tell you, she dug into that well of her heart, and she came out with an incredible generativity and kindness. She spent many years in a wheelchair doing so much for others and so buoyant that nobody ever felt sorry for her. And that was the power of love at work. So no matter what your situation, you can be a giver. Some people, it's creativity. For some, it's listening. The chapter on attentive listening features Dan Gottlieb, who is a psychologist in Philly. About 20 years ago, Dan, who's a friend, was in an accident. He was left with a spinal cord injury. He's quadriplegic. He's in the rehab hospital figuring out how he can kill himself. Along comes a night nurse. She sits down beside him. "Dr. Gottlieb, I'm really thinking about throwing in the towel on life. Is it unusual for people to think this way at some point?" Dan Gottlieb said, "Well, let me listen to you." And she told him her story, and after about an hour, she walked away feeling a lot better. And he had that aha moment. You know, I can live in a wheelchair because I can help others by being a listener. And now he has a national NPR show called Voices in the Family. People call from all over America because they know Dan Gottlieb listens to him with love, with compassion, and he really hears them deeply, and he gives them the message, you know what, your life isn't some crazy mistake, but it's got significance and meaning that sometimes are beyond our own comprehension.
We're here with Dr. Stephen Post, who wrote a wonderful book called Why Good Things Happen to Good People. So isn't this giving of ours, isn't that something that is part of our basic human nature, or is this something that we need to learn?
Well, you know, it's both, Stu. That's a heck of a good question, and it's an important one. You know, there are genetic studies pointing out that some people are by nature a little more compassionate, a little kinder, a little more altruistic and giving, if you will, than others. But the key thing is that that really doesn't determine your future too heavily. The main thing is, how are you raised? Do your parents model love? Are they empathic to you? Do they get you involved in opportunities to contribute to the lives around you? Do they encourage you to read and to think about generosity in life? So how we're raised makes a difference. The kinds of institutions we get involved in life make a difference. I love the Montessori schools, Stu, because the older kids, 7th and 8th grade, you know, they're required to go into the lives of the younger kids in the early grades and become their teachers. They read with them. They teach them art. There's this kind of giving built into the dynamic of that educational philosophy. So we need a lot of institutions that don't just educate our minds but educate our hearts through helping us to stumble on the joy of being kind givers.
So what I really hear you're saying, in a way, is for our educational system, for example, it's about tapping into more than just parlaying and conveying information. And it's really about offering a sense of wisdom and knowing that we're all here together. Having that sense of giving and a culture of generosity is something that's absolutely essential.
Oh, it really is, across the board. And by the way, you know, when you look at life, there's a lot of disappointment. There are a lot of hard times. You look at what we hear in the news and the media today, and sometimes the most negative kinds of events are just repeated 24/7. It seems like all there is in the world is a lot of harshness. But, you know, when I started my institute, one of my friends in Pittsburgh, which is nearby Cleveland, was Mr. Rogers, who some of your listeners know from TV reruns of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Sure.
This guy spent his entire life trying to provide a positive image of compassion and respect for kids watching television. Well, about 2 weeks after 9/11, a reporter from the Times asked him, "Mr. Rogers, what should parents tell their children?" He paused and he responded, "Tell them to keep their eyes on the helpers." And I think that's the lesson. I think that's why this new science of giving, of gratitude, of forgiveness, all of this is really coming into vogue now across the nation, because we realize that if we're going to have a human future worth having, we got to focus not on disease and deficit and all the things that we know represent that kind of shadowy side of our emotional lives, but we need to recognize how to bring out and elicit and give life to that human essence of kindness and of compassion and of active caring in the world.
And if there's good news about all of this, is that we actually have choice, right? I mean, isn't that one of the blessings we have here, is some sort of free will to choose where we place our attention?
We sure do. You know, Abraham Lincoln, they say, was a little bit melancholic. Today we'd say maybe mildly depressed, right? One of his most famous statements, often quoted, is the following. A man, again, we'll add woman, a man is just about as happy as he makes up his mind to be. Whatever your genetic type is, whatever your family background is, you do have a choice. Now, in the Jewish tradition, I am a big fan of Viktor Frankl, who wrote that great book, Man's Search for Meaning.
Yes.
Viktor Frankl, he spent 4 years in Auschwitz as a prisoner. He made real careful observations about the people around him, and he concluded that so long as you determined, as you made a choice, to be compassionate and caring. In his case, it was symbolized by the fact that he shared his meager meal with someone who looked a little hungrier than he was. He said, as long as you had that dynamic of giving, you tended to have more of a chance of getting through things. But when you gave up on the power of love, on the power of giving, he said, typically people gave up on life itself and they tended to die. And that's actually what he argued in his book. And, you know, the point is, doesn't matter what life throws you, you win with love, and you always lose if you give in to the hostility, the bitterness, the rage, the resentment.
We're talking with a PhD here, Stephen Post, and his book, Why Good Things Happen to Good People. You know, Stephen, that's a great reminder for all of us, is that there is a link between doing good and feeling good. And I think one of the things you're offering up for everybody to consider here is how we can begin to take, if we not begin, or take another step, another action step. Because sometimes the transformation, if you want to call it that, to being happier in life comes from within and focusing within and then going about your business. The other way to go about it, it's like from the outside in, is what you're kind of describing here, is just go out in the world and do some giving and have some generosity, whether it's to your family, friends, community, humanity, whatever. And that will return back to you this greater sense of happiness and connection and ultimately living in longevity.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Stu, you got to get out and do positive things, not to be overwhelmed. I mean, there are limits and boundaries and so forth. But the point is that, you know, when you live a generous life, it's really remarkable. Scientists have described very clearly something called the helper's high. Just, you know, 2 or 3 hours of volunteering a week, people come back and they report a high feeling. It's actually based on endorphins, natural opiates that are released by the brain when we act generously. They report a sense of calmness, certainly meaning and purpose. Believe it or not, about a third of them report feeling better physically, and 13% say that they feel freed from aches and pains. And that's been replicated. We got a study, a brain study, that came out in 2006. The researchers took subjects into a lab. They gave them a menu of charities that they could contribute to. When they had that eureka moment, I'd like to give to this charity, they checked the box. Lo and behold, the part of their brain lights up. It's called the mesolimbic pathway, but it's associated with joy, and it doles out feel-good chemicals like dopamine and even serotonin. So suddenly, you know, we're beginning to understand, contrary to the cynics, that there is this incredibly powerful dynamic in our natures. This is why even the Dalai Lama gets quoted in the paper sometimes. He says, you know, I almost feel a little guilty about compassion because it actually makes me feel so good. Well, Stuart, you know, we're not appealing to self-interest or to selfishness or to self-help. What we're saying is that as a byproduct or a side effect of sincerely giving and loving the people around us, we inevitably and without exception do feel a kind of flourishing and warmth and fulfillment that changes our lives.
Well, one thing I feel like saying is amen. That's a beautiful thing. And maybe it's a great segue, Stephen, into your work with the Institute of Research on Unlimited Love. Because what exactly is that? Because it sounds like science meets, you know, something else.
Well, you know, isn't that, it is an interesting title. I got to tell you, Stu, I was sitting in my office here at the medical school at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland in 2001, and I got a fax from a billionaire, a wonderful guy who I'd known for a decade or so, John Templeton. He faxed me, said, Stephen, we need an institute that doesn't just study, you know, diseases, that doesn't look at public health just in terms of hand-washing and avoiding lead paint. Those things are all important, mind you. But he said, we need something that looks really at our greatest assets because public health is so much about how we live our lives. So why don't we study love and compassion and forgiveness and gratitude, and we'll call it the Institute for Research on Unlimited Love. Well, listen, you know, that was fine with me, but I had a little moment of fear being in a medical scientific environment. So I faxed back, Sir John, maybe we should call it the Institute for Creative Altruism. And he faxed back, no, I think Unlimited Love, named something like $5 million. And I faxed back, Sir John, that language jumps right off the page.
Yeah. In fact, in 5 million ways.
It does. It sure does. But, you know, he was right, because altruism is kind of arid and dreary and dry. It's kind of like jumping on hand grenades. I mean, you know, when we talk about love, we talk about a kind of tender, loving care, the sort of palpable qualities, whether it's Helen Keller or Mother Teresa, they talk about small things done with great love. That kind of facial expression and tone of voice, that small smile to the barista in Starbucks, you know, all the small things we can do in the course of the day that just brighten up the world around us. And that really is this kind of love, this ability to affirm the meaning and significance and value of the people around us, especially when they might be feeling that life isn't quite everything it's trumped up to be.
So, Stephen, clearly the name Research on Unlimited Love can conjure up all kinds of thoughts and beliefs. What exactly, are there any projects or anything specifically, briefly, that you can discuss with us?
Well, we funded about 70 projects across the country, all very competitively reviewed by researchers around the world. But right now we have a number of big projects. One, actually, is looking at the very notion of happiness. What do we mean by happiness, and how is it related to giving? So that's a five-year project. It involves about 40 scholars from coast to coast across the United States. We're really asking deeply, what is happiness? It may not be some kind of crazy sensual intoxication where you flame out in life at age 35, some hedonic imperative. It may be that really happiness does come, as the wise people tell us, from having that sense that your life matters, that you've contributed meaningfully to the people around you. And we're studying the epidemiology of goodness. A big study is underway now with about 45 scientists from around the country to really look at the biology of goodness. When we are generous in our emotions, when we're generous in our actions, what's really happening in our immune system? Because we need to understand that, and I think it's one of the major areas for future research.
I just want to thank you so much for being here. We're out of time today, but thank you so much, and we are filled up with good things within our own lives. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thanks, Stu. It's a pleasure.
We have more Wealth to Share right here on KNEW, 910 AM, San Francisco.